Welcome to New Covenant's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and that you would encounter Jesus through this message. Thanks for listening.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and as you're going there, I will be praying. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for sweet worship this evening. I thank you, Lord God, that you love us with a really, really deep love. I thank you, Father God, that you love us enough that you touch us like Cody just shared. And, Father, I just thank you for rescuing us, the different people that are struggling. Father, I thank you that you touch us and you lift us up. Lord, I thank you. And as we spend time in your word tonight, I pray that you would open our understanding and that you would help us be more like Jesus. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I did talk about God. God's nature is to be a giver, and that is very much true. And our walk, our journey with the Lord is to become more like him, which means that if we're more like the Lord, we'll be more generous. We'll be more like givers, right? And at the same time, we should recognize that everything of true value comes from Jesus, right? James chapter 1 says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And so he gives us, and so we recognize that we receive from him and that we should be fairly generous towards other people, right? And towards the church and towards ministry and towards those in needs and just all kinds of things. So anyway, as we look in Scripture, we're going to see in 2 Samuel chapter 9 an example of this, and it involves King David. Now, the Bible says regarding King David that he was a man after God's own heart, right? So it says that in the book of Acts chapter 13, that David is a man after God's own heart, and that David did everything that God wanted him to do. And so we could look at David for the most part and say that we should emulate, we should be like David, right? Because David was being like Father. Now, yes, there were instances where he was a man of blood and he killed people, and those are things that we should not emulate, but in his good qualities, we should seek to emulate that. So I want to read this passage out of 2 Samuel, and this is when David has become king, and he takes in the son of his enemy to care for him. All right. Now, I think it's kind of hard to take in someone to care for them, generally speaking. You know, like when it's just you and your family, you can walk around and burp and whatever, and it's not a big deal. But now you start adding more people to your house, you have to behave differently to some degree, right? And you can't walk around in your PJs the same. And, so to have someone in your house is a little different. So David takes in someone into his house, but not only is he taking someone into his house, but he's taking the son of his enemy, or the grandson of his enemy, into his house, right? And so I'll just read it, and we'll comment, and we'll see some things here. So David, verse 1, David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So Saul was the first king of Israel who persecuted David. Jonathan was David's best buddy, and both of them are dead, and so he's asking if there's anyone else from Saul's house that he could care for. Now, normally you would just take all the remaining relatives of the former king and just kill them so that they would not make an attempt on the throne, right? And I'm sure somebody who's listening to this is thinking, yeah, to show them kindness, Somebody was thinking that. Now, there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. That's a great name. Maybe baby name? Somebody? Okay. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" At your service, he replied, the king asks, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I may show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. Where is he at? And Ziba tells him he's in a place called Lodabar. Verse 5, David had him brought from Lodabar from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. And when Mephibosheth, another great name, baby name for you guys who are still having babies, think about that one. You can call him Phoebe, right? Shebi, Mephi, you can call him whatever. So Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and bowed down to pay him honor, thinking basically, I'm getting ready to die. This is my last breath. That's basically what was rolling through his mind. Are you Mephibosheth? Yes, I am, at your service. Verse 7, don't be afraid. David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Wow. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? And then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. So there's a restoration of goods. Verse 10, you and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Verse 11, when Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son. And I'm going to jump down to 13. And Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table. He was lame in both feet, period. Okay, so here's this story. And I want you to kind of get the imagination of it. Saul was the king. Saul's persecuting David. The Lord raises David up. He becomes king. Saul's dead. Jonathan's dead. So they take Mephibosheth, the lame grandson, and they go hide him on the backside of nowhere. And David has him brought in not to kill him, not to execute him, but to show him God's nature of giving. He wants to show Mephibosheth that God's a giver. And so what we see with David in this chapter is the same thing really that we see with God towards us and what we should see in us towards others. Does that make sense? So God shows us giving. David shows us giving. We should emulate giving. That's kind of where I'm going, okay? So how did David give? I have seven quick thoughts, and then we'll be done. So my seven quick thoughts are this. One is he gives lovingly, right? David gives out of love, not out of obligation. God gives out of love, not out of obligation. When we have kids, we give to them because we love them. When we love people, it's easy to give to someone that you love. It's hard to give to somebody you don't really love, right? When my kids ask for stuff, most of the time I'm really, really happy to give it. Sometimes there's like other reasons not, but for the most part, you're like, oh yeah, you're my kid, I want to give you stuff. You know, I don't give you, you know, coffee-flavored ice cream at 10 o'clock at night because that's stupid. But, you know, so there's this loving, giving thing. And so David shows us that, and that's God's nature. The Bible does tell us that God is what? God is love, 1 John. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son. And so that's God's nature. And God, today, he gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you encounters with the Holy Spirit. He gives you manifestations of the Holy Spirit to do ministry. God is always about giving, and the more we become like Jesus, the more we become givers, right? So there's that loving aspect of it. I also see in this that David gave freely. David gave freely. Okay, so I'm giving because I love, but I'm giving freely to you because I enjoy that, right? So today is my wife's birthday. Had to double check, make sure she wasn't standing in here somewhere. So today is my wife's birthday, and so you know what? We came home from church after lunch today, and I had hidden gifts, and I went and got gifts. I was all excited because I was giving her a gift, and she, you know, tears open the paper, and it was in some Amazon box that I stole from the office that I didn't order on Amazon, but it was just a box. And so it was like, hey, I'll pack them all this box, and my wrapping paper's all dopey looking because I'm a boy and I can't wrap and whatever. And but man, I was sure happy to give my wife a present for her birthday because it's fun. And I have not told you how old she is because I don't want to die. But God gives freely. David gives freely. We should learn to give freely, right? Not expecting anything in return. You know, if I come over here to Melanie, I'm like, hey, I'm going to give you this $20, but I really expect you to give me $25 back. Is that giving freely? No, of course not. Right? That's weird. And so we want to learn to give freely, because that's what God shows us, and that's what David shows us, okay? Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. And that should be how... Did God just, like, super bless you at some point? Yeah, he wasn't like, you know, okay, now you owe me. God freely gives, and we should be people that we freely give. That's who we are. That's who we should become, because that's who he is, and that's who David demonstrates that he is. And so the third thought is that David gave constantly, just as God gives constantly. How often in this story did Mephibosheth eat at David's table? It wasn't just Thanksgiving, right? Of course, they didn't have Thanksgiving back there. It wasn't just Christmas dinner. It was every day. Every day from that point forward, hey, we're setting the table. Be sure there's a place for Mephi, right? Not meth, Meph, because he didn't live in Effingham. I mean, that's a different thing, right? And so are we recording this? That'd be a problem. Anyway, So he sets the table. There's always a place for Mephibosheth to eat every day, constantly, because that's the way God gives. God constantly gives. God constantly blesses you. And when we really fall in love with Jesus, we see that. You know, I know that when I came to the Lord, I started seeing things like sunsets that I really, really didn't ever notice before. It's like I have the love of God in my life, and all of a sudden I'm just like, wow, he gave me a sunset. Isn't that beautiful? You know, and you just start enjoying things totally different. And there's this constant nature of God to give consistently. And David demonstrates that here also. And you guys know the in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus teaches us to pray, and he says, give us this day our occasional stale bread. Is that what it says in there? No. Give us this day a weekly proportion. Is that, how does he give? Daily. Because God is constant in his giving. And who should be constant in their giving? We should. We should constantly be giving and constantly be loving. David models that because Mephibosheth ate at his table every single day. The fourth thing is David gave compassionately. Okay? And God gives compassionately, and we should be compassionate givers. Jesus was sitting up on the hillside, and he sees all these people, and he has compassion on them, and he ministers to them, right? Whenever you see the word compassion in the New Testament, Jesus is getting ready to do a miracle, right? And, oh, man, look at all you 5,000 people that ain't got no food. And he had compassion for them, and he multiplied fish and bread and made the biggest like fish taco meeting of ever, because yeah, the bread might have been tortillas. Can anybody get it with my theology that the bread was actually tortillas? A couple of you fish tacos, a little Baja sauce on there. Just saying. It pleases God to give. And we need to learn that giving is a demonstration of God's kindness and a demonstration of God's compassion. And when we give compassionately, the Lord sees it and the Lord recognizes it. Keep your finger here in 2 Sam, if you will, real quick. I'm going to jump over to Acts chapter 10, and then we'll come back. But in Acts chapter 10, there's this story of this soldier named Cornelius. 10 verse 4 in the book of Acts says, Cornelius, he's praying and he has this vision. He sees an angel. Verse 4, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asks. And the angel answers, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. And then he begins to speak to him and tells him to send for Peter, tells him Peter's almost the exact GPS locations, and they go and they get him, they bring him in, and he preaches to his household, and his whole household is saved. What was the thing that kicked that off? It was Cornelius's prayers and gifts of compassion, right? Hey, I'm a compassionate giver. I'm going to give. And the Lord looks at it and goes, man, check that guy out. He is helping the poor. He is a great, compassionate person. I, the Lord, I'm going to pour out on him. If you really think about that story where in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, where he says, you know, I want you to send to the next city that's 40 miles away to this particular town, to this particular person's house, and there's going to be a particular guy there named Peter. That in and of itself is crazy. Has anyone experienced that before? That is awesome. I have. It blows your mind. Can I tell you a quick story? I know I'm running late on time. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, this friend of mine, Dr. Ken Savage, and I went to the country of Panama. And we decided we were going to go to Panama. We were going to scout the land out. And we were going to bring a church planting team back to Panama. We're going to plant this church. We're going to do a crusade. And he had done it before in Mexico a lot, in Costa Rica. So I was just kind of going with him on his, like on his shirt tails or coattails or however that expression goes, right? And so we fly, the two of us, it's in May of whatever year that was that the big tornado went through Tulsa, because that's where we lived. But we fly to Panama, and we are totally going to wing it, okay? We don't have a hotel reservation. We don't know anybody. We're just going to show up in Panama, and we're going to look around for a good place to have a crusade and figure this junk out. So we get there, we come out of customs outside of Panama, it's midnight, because that's the time, so we were walking out, and this man walks up to us, and he says, are you the two pastors from America? And we're like, oh no. So we're like, we look at each other like, do you know nothing? I don't know nothing. Yeah, and we go, yeah. He goes, oh good, man, the Lord told me that you guys we're coming in today, so I'm here with my wife and my two kids, and we drove all the way in from a town called Santiago, and we've come in to pick you up because the Lord sent you here and sent us to get you. Wow. We're like, and he looks at me and goes, I don't trust him. I go, I don't either. I've never seen this guy. We're crazy. Anyway, we ended up going to some, whatever the Panamanian version of Waffle House is, with this guy at midnight to kind of get to know him, kind of feel out the situation. We end up riding with him and his old dilapidated vehicle with him and his wife and his two kids out to Santiago. We go into this little hotel. The hotel is called King David. And we stay there for a week. And by the time we leave, we've picked a place, a city where we're going to have a crusade. We've hired a pastor to pastor the church that we're going to plant. And we had a new friend. all because he heard the Lord and he sent him. And they're just like, what? That's crazy. So Cornelius had the same kind of a story, which is why I went on that long thing. Cornelius had the same kind of thing because he was a giver, and his giving got God's attention. So when we give compassionately, it gets God's attention. Does that make sense? So I got three more. So David gave, back to Mephibosheth and David, David gave sacrificially. Okay? Do you know what a thing it is to feed somebody every single day at your house? That starts adding up, doesn't it? And so he gave every day sacrificially for this guy Mephibosheth. And funny, I mean, Mephibosheth, didn't like add value to David's household, particularly. He just took up room, right? He wasn't like, you know, oh, hey, I can go, you know, I can paint the extra rooms or I can mop or not. He was lame. He couldn't do anything. He did not contribute. So David's helping him was sacrificial. Sacrificial is when we give and we don't particularly expect anything to come in return. We're giving because we see the need and we're going to jump in. And that's what they did. 6, David gave graciously. Right? You understand graciously? You know, gracious, when I give graciously, that's like above and beyond. Okay? It's sort of like, if I can use this illustration, it's sort of like Chris's wife, Regina. Okay? She is what I would call, she's extra. Okay? So like, if I invite you to my house, I'm going to put the pizza on the table in a box and say, let's eat. Right? Ta-da, there it is. Regina would never do that. Regina is extra. So she's going to decorate this thing. It's going to be themed. It's going to be a party, right? It's going to have candlelights. It's going to have whatever. It's going to be a total experience because that's her, right? I think that's God's nature. God's nature is to be extra. And so David demonstrates for us a way that he is giving to Mephibosheth that is gracious. It is above and beyond normal, right? Not, I mean, maybe normal would be, hey, Mephibosheth, you can eat at my table every day. But this is, Mephibosheth, you can eat at my table every day, and I'm going to give you back all your granddaddy's land, and I'm going to give you these guys to work the land for you, and so they're going to make money for you. You now have passive income for the rest of your life. David gave above and beyond because that's the way God gives, okay? God wants to bless us above and beyond. He really does. Oh, I don't think so. He really does. He wants to put us in a place where we are just like, wow, God is so cool. Because John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life and give us life more. Right? Not skimpy. You know, God's best for you is not like a piece of bologna every third day. Right? God is gracious and God is abundant in his giving, and we should be gracious and abundant in our giving. And number last is God gives willingly. David gave willingly. Nobody went to David and said, hey, David, look, there's this guy Mephibosheth. You should really make, in fact, if you don't do this, David, you're a bad person. That no one coerced or manipulated David to be a giver. David gave willingly out of the kindness and the depth of his own heart, right? God gives willingly. Have you ever thought what how you would treat human beings if you were God? Wouldn't that be a mess? Like all of you people, all of you guys over there. But God doesn't treat us like that. Isn't that great? You know, I mean, that guy who flipped you off while you're driving somewhere, you'd be like, if I was God, I'd be like, you're gone. Right? You know, or you get stuck in line behind someone at the drive-thru and they can't make up their mind and you're sitting there like for days and days on end. And the other day I got trapped. I got trapped at the red lights have the little pressure things on the road. Well, I got trapped behind someone who didn't pull up to it all the way. But I couldn't go anywhere. Like, there was a car behind me, and I couldn't. There's curbs, and I just couldn't get out. We were there for like four cycles of this light. I was so close to just getting out of my car and going up and going, move up to the front. You're not doing a thing right. And finally, somebody moved, and I was able to escape. I was like, that guy's probably still sitting there going, what's wrong with this red light? Well, you didn't hit the little pressure pad, bro. I don't know why I told you that story, but that was Thursday. But God gives willingly. So when we give, when there's coercion involved, like your mommy's telling you you have to, that's not real giving. That's just, you don't want to get whooped. But when, I didn't look at you on purpose for whooping, but you didn't get whooped?
My brothers did.
Oh, but you were too good, huh? Yeah, or too fast.
Yeah.
So we, if we're going to be like God, then we become willing givers, okay? I want to kind of challenge you guys on something, okay? According to your abilities and your means, I challenge you to go put like a $20 bill in your pocket, in your billfold, and look for someone to give it to this week, just to bless them, okay? And if you are like way more wealthy than that, and 20 is not enough, then do 100 or whatever, you know. But look for something. Don't give them like a quarter because that's insulting. But you know, like maybe you're going to the Waffle House and you want to like overly bless the wait staff, you know. And so you like, you know, hey, here's my $5 tip, but here's an extra 20 just because. Do that this week. And you will see your heart go, man, that was great. Because that's the nature of God to give. And that's the way David gave. And that's why we need to learn to give out of the generosity and out of the willingness, out of the compassion, out of the graciousness of our hearts. Okay? I quoted Winston Churchill this morning, and I'll close with that now. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. Learn to be givers. That's what Jesus did. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I'm going to pray. And so Father God, I thank you. I thank you for this example of David and Mephibosheth. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts in such a way that we become just gracious, compassionate givers. Lord, that we would look for those in need and seek ways to bless them. That we would look for those that are in some way worse off than they ought to be, Lord. And we would find a way to help them and to strengthen them, even if it's taking groceries up to their door and ringing the bell and running in the bushes or whatever, however that works for us. But Father, I just pray that you would teach us to be like you in our giving. That we would, again, look for opportunities to demonstrate your love through graciousness. We would demonstrate your love by constantly being givers. And Lord, we recognize that as we take on the nature of a giver, that really, it comes to your attention. And you open up the miraculous in our lives like we saw with Cornelius. So, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would transform us into a giving people, into a loving people. And, Lord, if that means inviting people to our own house and having meals with them on the regular, Lord, let us be gracious givers and so transform the kingdom. And we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.